Welcome back to our continuing studies in the book of Romans, and in this video episode, we are in Romans chapter 11. We will spend one class period in this chapter. It is actually part 3 of a section in the book of Romans, and that section is composed of chapter 9, 10, and 11. And there is, in my judgment, one primary subject developed in this section. And once we understand that subject, these three chapters are relatively easy to navigate. So we're going to get back into that now. And in Romans chapter 11, I break that down into 4 sections. Verses 1 through 10, Israel was not absolutely cut off. Verses 11 through 24, both Jew and Gentile can be saved in the same way. And verses 25 to 32, obedience is the key. Therefore, in verses 33 to 36, everyone ought to be thankful. So as we go through this, I'll re-emphasize the primary subjects under consideration by Paul in this part of the Roman letter, and there will be valuable lessons for us, as always, when we read and study God's Word. Would you listen, please? Romans 11, verses 1 through 10. I ask, then, has God rejected His people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected His people whom He foreknew. Do you not know what the Scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see, and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and bend their backs forever. Let's review the issue under consideration in this section of Romans. Jews and Gentiles lived apart over many generations. Now, as both Jews and Gentiles obeyed the gospel, they come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. This was a huge change, and it didn't just happen with full attitude and emotional changes overnight. Jews were no longer citizens of a theocratic nation. Gentiles were no longer outsiders. Emotionally, socially, religiously, this was something that required lengthy instruction from the apostles. It was a major challenge in the time of the early church. Now, as we begin chapter 11, there were some Jews who apparently made the impulsive charge that God had just cut off the nation, that in the coming of Christ and the gospel invitation to the Gentiles, God was casting away His people. Paul states that common assertion and then he denies it. Has God cast away His people? Has God rejected His people? And the answer comes back, certainly not, by no means. Sometimes When something happens we don't fully understand or like, we overreact. We overstate the matter. God didn't reject all Jews because they were Jews. God didn't build a nation only to consign the entire nation to hell upon the coming of Christ. This just isn't what happened. The acceptance of the Gentiles on the same basis as the Jews didn't mean God was rejecting anyone but the disobedient, whether Jew or Gentile. And as the last statement in chapter 10 says, God was reaching out through the gospel to the disobedient Jews. Elijah once overreacted, pleading with God against Israel, claiming he was the only one left, and God corrected him. Paul is correcting and answering anyone who thought God was casting away his people. The theocratic nation no longer had any valid existence. Christ was now the head over his body, the church, composed of anyone who would obey the gospel. But Jews could come in the same way any could get in, by hearing, believing, obeying the gospel of Christ, placing themselves under the grace of God and the authority of Jesus Christ. In verse 5, Paul argues there is a remnant according to the election of grace, or chosen by grace. That means there were Jews who had responded to the gospel of grace. They didn't work their way into God's family on their own. Their blood gave them no privilege. They responded to the gospel of grace. There were others who did not come in. They did not receive God's unmerited favor. But Paul says the elect, the remnant, the chosen, are not those with a certain blood or of a certain race, but individuals who have responded to the gospel. The elect are those who open their eyes to the gospel of grace, respond and live under the authority of Christ. Those who don't do that, Jews or Gentiles, wind up blind and stumbling and fulfilling the prophecies given about the rejecters of the gospel. So what happened when Christ came and the old covenant ended? God wasn't casting away his people. There were Jews in the family of God, Jews like Paul. But they got there not through national heritage, not through works of merit. They got there through the election of grace, which simply means they chose to obey the gospel of grace, and by doing so, avoided the prophecies of doom that are cited toward the disobedient in verses 8 through 10. I want to take us now from 11 to 24. Romans 11, from 11 to 24. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? For I am speaking to you, Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, Do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That's true. They are broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness toward you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off, and even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back in to their own olive tree? The plan God set up to save sinners is offered equally on the same terms to both Jews and Gentiles. The Jews who rejected Christ didn't obey the gospel, fell out of favor with God because of their choice to reject his plan. As it turned out in actual events and choices, the unbelief of the Jews became an opportunity for the gospel to be taken to the Gentiles. It wasn't, Paul says in verse 11, that God was causing the Jews to stumble to get the Gentiles in. Certainly not. But it happened this way, that as the Jews rejected the gospel, the apostles and evangelists took the gospel to the Gentiles. So, I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? As unbelieving Jews rejected the gospel, God used that event for two purposes. One, to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and two, to harden, to provoke the Jews so that there would be a rebound effect. In all of this, God is at work attempting to save all. God is sovereign, making salvation available to all men. Paul uses an illustration from agriculture. There is God's tree, so picture God's tree. In order to partake of the root and nourishment of the tree, one must be attached to it. God prunes branches which do not produce, even if those branches are natural. He grafts in branches based on belief. It's God's tree, and he can do as he pleases. Now, I read this in verses 22 to 25 in particular, and I should disregard what my nationality is and focus on this. If I want to be a part of God's tree, God's family, I need to hear, believe, and obey the gospel. If I don't obey the gospel and live as a faithful child of God, I subject myself to the severity of God. Will all Jews beyond, or are all Jews beyond recovery? No. The old covenant was finished. The theocratic nation had no more existence. Gentiles could enter, but any Jew who wanted to could hear, believe, and obey the gospel and be a child of God. Jews ought to humble themselves under God's plan. Gentiles addressed in what we've just read should assume no arrogance, but be thankful that they can, through Christ, live in fellowship with God. Verses 25 to 32. Let me talk to you about that. What Paul is working against here is ignorance, not knowing the truth, being driven by what you don't know. Paul is working against ignorance in these three chapters. I think Paul is addressing these remarks primarily in this section of Romans 11 to Gentiles. And this is a warning to them to not be boastful against the Jews. Paul is saying, if I may paraphrase, don't take confidence in yourself against another group. Don't perpetuate the idea that God rejected this group just to get you in, and you're a part of this group that God gets in. Don't be wise in your own opinion of yourself. This whole section is not just for the Jews, but Gentiles needed to understand. Gentiles must not presume on their fortunate position as wild branches grafted in. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, wants to warn them their riches in Christ was not some sort of reward for not being Jews. The phrases here, the fullness of the Gentiles and all Israel, simply signify God would save all he wanted to save among the Gentiles and the Jews. And he wanted to save those who were responsive to his Son, Jesus Christ. Exactly how many would be in the phrase, the fullness of the Gentiles? Exactly how many would be included in all Israel? We do not know. What we know is any Jew, any Gentile can be saved from sin and be a child of God in the same way, by obeying the gospel. In verses 33 to 36, there's thanksgiving and praise offered to God, who through Christ offers to forgive us and accept us. Remember, I've said several times, as we have moved through chapters 9 through 11, the leading principle here is the sovereignty of God. Plan of salvation. The gospel, God's plan. He has the right to do whatever he wants to do. He wanted to offer salvation to all men, Jew or Gentile, through Jesus Christ. As Paul wraps up this discussion, he can do nothing more or write nothing more than this statement of praise to God. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. This is a statement of praise to God, who has provided for all men to be saved from sin and eternal punishment through Jesus Christ. His ways are past finding out. We can easily learn what to do to respond to the gospel and to live as Christians. But to know everything God knows, his ways are past finding out. Who has become his counselor? He doesn't need us to advise him. Well, let me summarize what we've studied in recent classes in Romans 9, 10, and 11. There came with Christ a huge change that was troublesome for both Jews and Gentiles. The Jewish nation, as a theocratic state, came to an end. The old covenant ended. We read back in chapter 10, verse 4, Christ is the end of the law. The gospel of Christ was preached to all nations, Jews and Gentiles. They could enter God's family, the church, in the same way by the activity of faith. Well, this brought people together who were not accustomed to being together. It was at least awkward, and in many ways there was resistance and hostility and confusion and division. Paul's dealing with that in Romans 9 through 11, this predicament that was a current issue at the time of Paul. He says, God did what he wanted to do. Anyone can become a Christian on the same terms as anyone else. Jew, Gentile, male, female, black, white. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, and to God be the glory forever and ever. A few takeaways. While God is all-powerful and sovereign and the Creator, that's not the only truth about who He is. Notice in verse 22, the goodness and severity of God. One tendency about God is to lock into His severity and focus on His wrath and judgment and punishment of sin and see that as the only truth about God. The other extreme is to look into His goodness and acknowledge everything that is sweet and love and merciful. But Paul says there's a balanced view of God, the goodness and severity of God. All discussions and all learning about who God is and what God has done for us should conclude with resolutions to serve Him with reverence and fear and obedience, and praise Him and be thankful for Jesus Christ.